Hello, my name is Chris Reisner, and welcome to Connecting Existing iOS Apps to Mobile Services. In this video, we're going to walk through taking an application which does not connect to mobile services and adding that functionality in. Specifically, the application is going to be a simple to-do list that allows you to add items and mark them as complete. But however, there's no data saving between runs and there's no connectivity to the cloud, so we're going to work on adding that in today. So we'll go ahead and run this application. So we have a simple to-do list, and we can say test mobile services, save data, and we're going to take a nap when all that's done. And we're testing it, so we're just going to say it's complete. Now, if we rerun our application, unfortunately what's going to happen is none of that data is there. So what we really want to do is we want to save that data into mobile services. So let's kill our application and go over to the portal. So the first thing we're going to do is go to manage.windowsazure.com, which gets us to the portal login screen. So I'm going to go ahead and enter my credentials. The portal is going to load up, and we'll see that we don't actually have anything in the portal at this time. So we need to create a new mobile service. So we'll click on mobile services here, and we'll go to create a new mobile service. Now we're going to call this iOS Data Video. Check to make sure the name is available. It is. We're going to create a new SQL database instance, and we're going to leave our mobile service in the East US region. Now next, we're going to go into create a database. We're going to leave the name as iOS data video_DB because that's fine. Now we can choose a server, and we can choose between creating a new SQL database server, which basically requires us to enter some administration credentials, or we can use an existing database server, which is what I'm going to use. And in this situation, it's just going to ask me for my username and password for that server. If you do create a new database server, you probably want to make sure your region is the same as the region you created your mobile service in. The reason being is that you don't want your mobile service to have to talk to a completely different data center whenever it goes to its database. So let's go back, and I'll enter the credentials for my database. And we'll hit the check mark, so it'll start creating a mobile service. Alright, so our mobile service is created, so let's go ahead and click on that, and the first page we're taken to is the quick start. The first thing we can do is choose which platform. We're of course doing iOS development, and then we can choose whether we want to create a new iOS app or connecting an existing iOS app. We're connecting an existing one, so we'll click on that. The first step is to download the iOS SDK. So we'll click on that, and we'll go ahead and save that into our folder, and we'll unzip that. Let's get rid of that. The second step is to connect to our app. So let's go back to our application, open the frameworks folder, right click on it, and go to add files to quick start. And we're going to go into the Mobile Services SDK folder, and we're going to pick the Windows Azure Mobile Services Framework. So we'll add that, and now we have access to it. So now if you go back here, it'll basically walk you through the steps to do a little bit more, but we're just going to walk through this together. So from here, we're going to go into todoservice.h. The first thing we want to do is add a reference to the Windows Azure Mobile Services Library. So after that's done, we're going to add a new property to our class for the mobile services client. Now that we've done that, let's go to the todoservice.m file. Let's add that same import statement. And then down in the initiation method, let's go ahead and initialize our client. First thing we actually do is initialize a new client, which we'll then use to set our client in our class in a moment. So we're going to use the client with application URL string initialization method. So it's going to take in the URL string of our application and the application key. To get those, let's go back to mobile services in the portal. Let's go to the dashboard. And down here we see in the dashboard area we have the mobile service URL. Let's copy that link address. Go back here and we can just replace it, or actually we can properly put it in there. Okay, so we're good. And then the next thing we need to do is get the application key. So return to the portal, we go to manage keys, and we see we have an application key and a master key. Now, when we initialize with the application key, essentially what happens is every request that goes through to mobile services will include the application key as a header. Now, that's going to be useful in a few moments when we talk about doing table authentication operations. Now that we've got that created, we're going to have to set our client, our local client. So we'll say self.client equals new client, client with filter, and self. So basically we're saying that there's a filter property or object or on our, there's a filter in the MS client, and we want it, whenever it calls an operation, we want it to be called on toDoService.h. Now, in order to take care of that, we need to go back over to toDoService.h, and we need to add MSFilter as a property that we're going to, as a class that we're going to implement in toDoService. Now, in order to implement toDoService, we need to have a handle request method that we have to implement. So we've got the handle request method here. Let's clean it up a little bit so it looks a little nicer. Essentially what happens here is this method will be called whenever a request is made to mobile services. Let's return to the .m file, and we'll handle a little bit more stuff, and then we'll actually implement that method. Let's first go up here to the toDoService properties, and we're going to add a new property for the mobile services table. So now this object is actually what we're going to use to do our operations on the table. So all of our reads, writes, updates, and deletes will be done using that table object. Now down here, after we've created our client, the next step is to say, basically set our table. So that's that. Now lastly, we need to implement that handle request method. So let's do that here. So again, we're going to have to clean this up just a little bit so it's a little more readable. Okay, let's go ahead and implement it now. Now remember that this method is going to be called whenever a request is made to mobile services in our application. So we're going to create an MS filter response block, wrapped response, and this is going to be used to wrap whatever the response should be from mobile services, or how we should handle it to some degree. So let's do this, and we're going to pass in a block. And we're going to pass in NSData and NSAir. And in the response, we're going to say self busy no. So there's a busy method up here that when passed in, it basically holds account of how many operations are being performed by mobile service. So whenever we get a response back from mobile service, we want to decrease that count. And then we're going to call the onResponse method, pass in the response, the data, and the error. And then lastly, whenever we get a request, we actually need to increment the busy count and then handle the next request. Or rather, process that request. The next thing we're going to look at is actually adding the code in to save data to our mobile service. So to do that, let's go up to the addItem method right here. Currently, all it's doing is inserting the new item into our local array. We're going to change that so we're actually going to insert it into mobile services first and then insert it locally. So let's go ahead and do self.table, insert, and we're going to pass in the item. And then we're going to have a completion block. And since Xcode is so nice to have done that for me, I'm going to go ahead and take the code I had, put it up here. Now, instead of actually inserting the object, we're going to insert the result. The reason being is that that result that comes back is going to be a little different because it's going to have the ID property put on top of it. So now that that's done, this should be able to build. Great. Now, before we can actually save any data, we do need to make a change in the portal. So let's go back to the portal, X out of that, and go to the Data tab. So before we can actually save any data, we need to create a table to save that data in. So we'll go ahead and we'll name our table toDoItem. Now down here we see we have these permissions. Specifically, we have a permission for each operation that can be formed on the table. Insert, update, delete, and read. By default, the permission setting is anybody with the application key. If you recall, when we initialized our mobile service, we passed in the application key as a parameter. That meant that every request to mobile services would include the application key as a header. So as long as the header comes through, or the application key comes through in a header, and any call to my REST API that's exposed by mobile services will work. However, if I wanted to not require the application key, I could choose everyone, and then I wouldn't have to send that. Additionally, if my users were going to be authenticated, I could say only authenticated users, and it would have to come over, every request would have to come over with a valid user object. Finally, I could choose scripts and admins, which would mean that only other scripts or someone with the master key could perform this operation on the table. We're going to leave them as is for now. So we'll save that, and it should create our table in just a second. Alright, so our table's been created, and now we're going to go back to our application and run it and try it out. So, let's go ahead and run our application. Now, let's say we're going to save some data. And take a nap. Oh, accidentally got rid of that. Apparently it doesn't want me to take a nap. So, that should be run. Now, if we go back to the portal, we should see that we have two records show up here in just a second. Or we can just click on the table because we want to be fast. And we see that we have taken an app and saved some data. Now again, I never actually said I want a text column or a complete column, but mobile services uses something called dynamic schematization to inspect the data that's coming across the wire and say, I need a column named text or I need a column named complete. And it's also going to look at what data is sent over to figure out what data type it should save. So if we go over to columns, we'll see that text has been marked as a string and complete has been marked as a number because I'm actually sending over a 0 or a 1 as opposed to a true or false value. If I send over true or false, which iOS doesn't really do true false because it does the yes no, but if I send over true false, it would actually interpret that and say it's a Boolean. So now what we need to do is go back and say I want to be able to update my data. So to do that, we'll go to the complete item. Now right now all it's doing is marking it locally as complete, or it's not actually marking it locally complete, it's really just removing the item. So we need to change that so it will actually remove the item and mark it as complete on the server side. So we can leave this fine. We're going to get a mutable copy of the items array. Then we need to actually get a mutable copy of the dictionary. So here we're going to get a mutable copy of the item that's passed in. Then we're going to update the complete complete field inside of our mutable dictionary with a yes. We're going to replace the original in the mutable array. And then finally, we're going to update the item on the server side. Let's go ahead and do that here. Now, we're going to go ahead and copy the code I had, which called the completion handler, and we're going to put it in here. But we need to do a few other things before we just call the completion handler. Specifically, just like we do up above, or what we were doing essentially, we're going to say so we want to get the index of the mutable object, and then we're going to say mutable items remove object at index. And then finally, we call the completion handler. So now if we build this and we run it, let's say test updating. Now again, we didn't see the item show up because we're not actually pulling from the server yet. So let's go ahead and mark that as complete. We're getting the index of the object identical to the item. And then we're going to do mutable items. Replace object at index. And index with mutable. So we just want to say that item in the our items array, we want to replace it with our mutable object. So then now we can actually call self.table update mutable, and we're going to take the completion call we had down here, we're going to put it up inside of our callback. First thing we're going to do though is we're going to get the index uh, object identical to, mutable. And then we're going to say mutable items, remove object index. And then lastly, we can call our completion call. So now let's run our application. Let's say test updating items. And we'll go ahead and save that. And then we'll go ahead and mark it complete. And now if we go to the server, we should see that we have a third item and it's marked complete. And it is. Great. So now the next step, of course, is that when we run our application, we actually want to pull back the data so we see what items have, you know, are there. So let's go up to the refresh data on success. And inside here, we're going to say self.table read with completion. And that's fine. We'll get rid of that. We're going to take our completion block. And then inside here, we're going to put the local items array is equal to the results, which we want to change this to results so it makes a little bit more sense and doesn't have the same name as our local array. And then we're going to make a mutable copy of those results and put it in the items. And then we're going to call the completion block. So now if we run this, we should see that all three of those items show up, which is great. Except there's still one problem here. The problem is that we really only want to see the completed items, or the uncompleted items. So that test updating items, we've already done that. We don't want to see that. So let's go back to the refresh data on success, and what we want to do is create an NS predicate. If you haven't used NS predicate before, it's kind of like a where clause. So we're basically going to create one that says, I only want to get items where the complete is not true. Or is no in iOS parlance. So we've created that. And then instead of doing read with completion, what we actually want to do is read where. And we're going to pass in the predicate. And then completion. And we build that. Now, if we run it, we should only see our two items, and that third item shouldn't show up. Great. So today we looked at how to connect an existing application into mobile services and how to make use of its data saving, updating, deleting functionality very, very easily and very quickly without having to do a lot of work. Thank you.